a time also to present our ministry so that all of you can pray with us. But I hope it fits in well in your minds and there's no confusion. Just going back a little bit on the ministry presentation. I gave you a little background of my family. But Romans 3:23, you saw that verse come up there, which the Lord used to bring me into His fold. It didn't happen just like that. Even though I was attending a Baptist church, I was attending the Sunday school, I was 10 years old, I didn't know the Lord personally. I thought I was a good boy who never did the bad things that others did, and I was good enough to get to heaven. But I don't know if my cousin Bev remembers, but as she asks a lot of questions sometimes and just asks, how are you doing? It was one of those days where she asked me, hey Adrian, if you died today, where would you go? I think that's an easy question to ask people. And maybe she thought I'm going to say, I don't know, Bev, can you show me the way? But I said, I'm going to heaven. And she said, well, how do you know? What makes you so sure about it? I said, I'm a good guy. I don't know if she expected that answer, because very quickly she led me to the pastor's wife. And here I was seated with the pastor's wife, and she very gently showed me from God's word that all have sinned, there is none righteous. Did you ever think, Bev, that day that question would have led me into a relationship with Jesus Christ? As I shared this morning in the adult Sunday school class, you don't know where that one question or that one answer could lead someone. Maybe I would have still been a church goer, but never in the Lord's fold if that question didn't come on that day. Or maybe the Lord would have used someone else, but what an opportunity each of us have. But many years later, the church got dissolved. The missionary pastor came back to the U.S. And it was about 4 years I didn't go to any church. I was wandering in the wilderness, literally. Even my dear cousins who I've enjoyed fellowship with, I was not in contact with them too. And then the Lord used Bev's mom, Mrs. Hooper. I think some of you have met her. And she invited me over for a gospel meeting. And I just went only because when she wants something, she gets it. She forces you to come. And if you don't come, she'll make you come. And God bless her for that. Because if it wasn't for that day, I probably will be saved and lost. And what I mean by that is, I'm saved, I'll be going to heaven, but I was lost in this world, confused. But that day when I came, the preacher preached the clear gospel, and he invited people to salvation, and no one moved. And then he says, is there someone here who has accepted the Lord and you're not sure about it right now? I said, that's me. And how the Lord in 1989 gave me the assurance that I was lacking. And from then onwards, no turning back. It's been just going forward. So I encourage you this morning, if the Lord leads you to do anything for Him, to say a good word, to bring someone to church. And I can see many of you are in church here today who probably would not normally go. You're here because it's Father's Day. You're here because someone invited you. You know, you've done yourself a favor. You've put yourself in the place where God can do wonderful things in your life. And I'm telling you, I'm not the son of a preacher. Far from that. I never had the Bible in my house being taught. And I'm, of all my three, of the three siblings in my home, I was the most timid, and even right now I still am. Apart from God giving me the strength to stand and look at these wonderful faces that are looking up at me, I would just shiver from here. But I speak to you today because of what God has done in my life. And the ministry that we are able to do, the Bible College in particular, you've seen we have three different categories of classes. One runs in the mornings for those who have the time and who can take a full-time course. Timothy, along two others, three of them are doing that. But in the evenings, we have class for those who work in the day and they still want to study God's word. 3 days a week from 6 to 8. There are some who work or study throughout the week and they come only during the weekends. So we're running 3 different categories of classes in the Bible College. Now, these classes are free. We can't charge them because most of them are from Hindu backgrounds and they love the Lord, they love His word, they're coming to study. We just do it because we have the opportunity and we can do it. But we can't charge fees because if we do that, it'll become difficult for them to study. I know it's a different setup in the US. You pay a lot to study. But that's the way our Bible College runs. I spoke to you about the ministry in the hills. That's been the place where Dr. Franks first set his eyes and foot on. But this morning, as I called India to just wish him Happy Father's Day, and I told him that I'm coming to his church, which has been supporting him, he said to give his love to all of you. But he's a weak man. He's a man who's finishing the race. He's a man who's going to go home shortly. But who can he pass that on to who will pick it up and say, I'll take over. I'll run the race. He spoke to me and he said, son, I'm feeling weak. Pray for me. Now he was a man who will run up and down those mountains. He was a man who was abandoned for Christ. But Parkinson's has slowed him down. And when I look at myself, I don't know how many years I have. I may look healthy right now, but who knows our tomorrow. But to do what we can for the Lord here and now, I ask you to please remember Dr. Franks and pray for him because his health is really running down and he's got a few tests to run through. So he's come to Bangalore from Tamil Nadu, another state, and he's right now at our premises. The church members are taking good care of him. So please pray for him and Mrs. Franks. And thanks for all the support that you have been giving him. As I said this morning, I'm a product of your support for his ministry. And now the Lord has enabled my wife and me to, through Heritage Baptist Church, to branch into another ministry of a different kind. And it's just multiplying. So we praise the Lord for what he's doing in India, and we covet your prayers. Not to lose focus on the very important day that we are gathered to celebrate, and that's Father's Day. You know, on Mother's Day, there's so many lovely things spoken about mothers. So many lovely things given to mothers. And I'm sure every mother looks forward to that day. It's a big business even in India now. Mother's Day and Father's Day. Earlier it was just Valentine's Day, but I'm happy that all these other days have come and we do honor our parents at least on that one day of the calendar year. But Father's Day, not much is done. Business is pretty low. Churches are not that much, you know, not very filled with people as it would be on Mother's Day. Even The telephone in the business says that not many calls are made on Father's Day. And even the calls that are made are usually called collect calls. Okay, you understand that. Thank you very much. That's new to me. But when I was thinking of that, I said, interesting. Dad, I just called to wish you for Father's Day. Can you pay for the call, please? I was looking at the dictionary to see what definition I could get for a father, and interesting where father appears in the dictionary. It appears just before the word fatigue. It also appears after the word fathead. So for all the fatigue and fathead fathers, Happy Father's Day, including me. Every year in church, when I think of preaching a Mother's Day sermon, it's all about what you have done, how you've been, how much we appreciate you. And every year during Father's Day sermon, this is what you ought to be doing. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And I just thought, I said, hey, no wonder Churches are empty on Father's Day. And fathers are busy. They don't want to come and get another arrow into their heart from the preacher. But fathers, this morning, it's not going to be that way. I realize that you've been doing a great job and you need to be appreciated. That's why the title, Thanks, Dad. And I want to thank every one of you who've come this morning. It's not going to be a long message, but I just want you to know by just being here, you have honored your father. You have appreciated all he's done for you. I have a couple of my cousins, apart from Bev, who are here, Veronica, and Theo, and their family. And I'm sure there are many of you here who have your family members who have come, probably for the first time, to Grace Baptist Church. So I just want to welcome you and tell you you've done an honorable act, and God bless you for that. I want to take you back to the passage of Scripture that was read earlier, Luke chapter 15. And very quickly, before time runs out, just a few thoughts from here. For our fathers. This is a familiar story of what was lost and what was found. Probably you've heard it in Sunday school, or even if you do not know the Bible, this is a story that is told and retold. But have you ever thought why Jesus spoke this story? Someone was lost, someone was found. Someone rejoiced. But why did Jesus speak? And he didn't speak about one thing that was lost. He spoke about three different things. I'm going to come back to that question at the end of the sermon. But I want to look at the story as it unfolds in verse 11. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have a different version, bear with me. Probably it'd sound a little easier in your version. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And the story tells us that how a father had two sons. It's Father's Day, so we won't ask where was the mother, okay? The father had two sons and he divided his estate, his inheritance, because one of the sons, the younger one, wanted it earlier than the due date. Because he had plans and preparations and he couldn't wait any longer to have it all given to him. Well, three things I want to give to our fathers this morning from this story is, remember I said we're going to appreciate you. We're not going to tell you what you ought to be doing, but we want to tell you we appreciate what you've been doing. And the first thing is that fathers, thank you for providing for your family. Thank you for material possessions. You may probably look and say, wait a minute, I don't have what the other has. No, I'm just telling you, you have what you need. Don't evaluate yourself based on others. When I look back, and both my dad and mom are no more, they are with the Lord. In fact, they are forevermore with the Lord, but they are not with me. I wish my dad was here today so I could tell him how much I want to thank him for what he's done for me. But those were the days when I lived with my parents and I always asked them, why can't you be like the dads my friends have? They get so many things. What have you given me? And he would always look at me with a blank look and say, nothing. I gave you nothing. But now when I look back and I think of my dad, I realize how much he gave me. And there was never a day I went without food. There was never a day where I didn't have clothes. I didn't have... Where did that come from? Obviously, somebody did work hard to provide for me. Thank you, dads, for material possessions that you give. And I do not mean to instruct you here, but 1 Timothy 5:8 is a very clear passage that says that if we don't provide for our families, then we have denied the faith. There's no question about not providing for your family. That's the first responsibility. In fact, God has made us as the head of the home, not just to have a position of authority, but to have a position of responsibility. We are the providers. We are the leaders. So fathers, I just want to tell you, we appreciate what you've been doing for your family all these years. I was reading a story of a child who was looking back at the years gone by and says, I'm just looking at my life and every incident that took place and everything that mom and dad did for me and how different they both were. If something happened to me, my mom would get all excited. She would come. When I was hurting, tears would roll down from her eyes. But dad was that cool, calm guy. That's okay. You'll be fine. Do you have gas in your car? What time are you coming? Be safe. Bye-bye. It looked like a touch and go with dad. And finally, it came to the time when the girl got married and she said, you know, mom just cried and wept. And I looked at dad and he was like, you'll be all right. I know you're in safe hands. And he kind of choked and he quickly left the room and went. And the girl says, why was dad so different? In all of this, I didn't get to see his emotions. I didn't feel really his love poured out on me. And then she says, oh, did I miss out on understanding through all of this? He was telling me in his own way, I love you. I think that's true, isn't it? We are made so differently and we have our differences in which we even express our love. Now, here's the father in this story. He's a wealthy man. He's got an estate. He's got an inheritance left for his children. And we find later when the son returns, he puts a ring on his finger, a robe. He has a party for him. So he was a wealthy man. But remember, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things he possesses. I'm not saying that you have to just provide things for your family. But I'm just saying that you need to give the basic needs of your home. And for that, we appreciate you, fathers, for what you've done. A second thing, truth we can get from this is that when the younger son asked the father that he wanted his inheritance and he wanted to leave, the father gave him that space. The father allowed the son to leave. Now you might say, there's the problem. If he had to say no, this story would have had a different ending. Well, I want you to know, it's hard for us to let go of our children. It's hard for us to sometimes let them choose. But choice is what God gives us and he expects us to give our children. Sometimes some choices have sad consequences and parents are the ones who feel the hurt more than the children. But parents, or fathers, the second thing is, thank you for faithful instructions. Not only material possessions, but faithful instructions. If you can communicate to your children time and again as to why certain things are not right or wrong, and most of the time it's not, you know, things are not taught, but they are caught. They observe us. They know what we are doing. And I realized when we had to make this trip to the U.S., as much as I was excited for the break I was going to get in the ministry and for what God has for us here, I realized I was dealing with three young men. Two in college and one about to step out of high school and go into pre-university, as Timmy said this morning. And they have their friends, they have their desires. And unless God puts in their heart what he put in my heart, this won't happen. So we had to sit and have a conversation, a father-son conversation. And I said, this is what I want you to sign up for. Are you willing? I gave them a choice. I said, if you don't want to, fine, we won't go. And each of them said, okay, but why is it so long? Why can't we get back sooner? I can understand. It's nice, parents, when we can talk to our children. As old as they get, if we can communicate. But I just want to take this time this morning to thank you, parents. Thank you, fathers, for faithful instructions that you have given them. So much so that when they have to even make a proposal, when they have to propose on their knee, they just know how to do it. And I like the way, you know, we've been with the Winkets for the last few weeks, and I like the way Johnny's gone about it. You know, it's been so nice the way he comes and sneaks upon his parents and probably even tells them about it. But we were excited when we got to know yesterday. But I'm sure there's been a lot of build-up to it that has happened in the past. And parents, we need to know not to be involved in the sense of directing them, but at least to have the joy to know that they are making right choices. And as independent as they are, they need our instruction. The third thing I get from this passage with the father and his two sons is that the father shows a godly, or his life is a godly illustration. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, be ye followers of God. And he says, follow me even as I follow Christ. Now that's powerful words. Follow me because I'm following Christ. And I want you to know, fathers, that there are times where, you know, we have to literally come down to the level of our child and tell them we are sorry for what we did or what we said. And in doing so, we don't lose our authority. Now, I can see this father. He probably was heartbroken to see his son leave. But look at his attitude when his son returned. He was looking out for his son every day. And when he saw him, what did he do? He ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him. And he said, party time. My son was lost, but now he's found. Look at the example his father was. The godly illustration. And I'm telling you, fathers, not by way of instruction again, but appreciating the godly illustration you are to your children and hoping that they would see Jesus in you, as the song said. Lord, I want to be just like you, because he or she wants to be just like me. And the more I think about that, I just realize how much more I need to walk close to the Lord. So just three things I want to leave for dads, and that is, thank you for the material possession you've given your children. You've done all you could, and don't regret. And I hope, children, you'll take time to appreciate that. Thank you also for the faithful instruction you've given them. And sometimes that instruction may not be what you say, but what you do. My dad was an alcoholic, but he didn't die as an alcoholic. And through his alcohol and the fights and the problems and the heartaches we had, he taught me, son, don't do this. He never told me, but he taught me. And I would never, ever want to get into that, because I know the damage it did to me. My dad and mom had a lot of issues, but they stuck together. And they taught me that that marriage is a commitment. So much so that they both were buried in the same grave. Even death could not separate them. My mom and dad were buried, because mom died 7 years before dad, and then they were able to have. I don't know if you do that here. It may sound crazy what I'm saying, but in India, yes. If it's been many years, then they'll have the next person buried. They could have a family grave. Even death couldn't separate my mom and dad. They taught me love. They taught me commitment. They taught me not to do certain things by what they did. So parents, daddies, we are teaching our children, and they are picking up very quickly. But I just want to quickly, because I have a lot of children here, including my sons, and I don't want to lose this opportunity for the children to realize how they can either, you know, break their father's heart or just make their father's heart that heart of joy. And I just very quickly want to go over this from the same story. I want you to look at this young man. Out of the two, the younger, he says, give me my share, give me my portion, and I want to leave. How did he break his father's heart? He withdrew from his father's love. His father could not understand, why would you want to leave my home? You don't even know where you're going. You just know with whom you're going. You don't even know what you're going to do, but you just feel you want to go and do it. It's the most heartbreaking experience for a parent to see their children come to that stage. But this father experienced it because his son withdrew from his love. And look at those words, give me. A very thoughtless request. Well, what did he do next? If you want to break your father's heart, here is the points I'm giving you. Note them down. Withdraw from their love. Just tell them, I don't want to experience your love. I don't want to be close to you. And when I say close, I don't mean you need to stay next door, but you know there are many ways we can make our parents, our fathers feel loved, appreciated. It could be that telephone call or just a text message. The second thing he did was he wasted what was given to him. It says he took all the wealth that was given to him and he squandered it. He wasted it in living that was of no value. I want to ask you, young people, this morning. You thank God or you thanked your father for the material possessions they've given you. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with what you have? James Dobson, a great psychologist and speaker, you've probably heard of him. He says, this is some of the things we fail in because we want to give our children what we never had. And we go all out to give them what we never had. But we fail to give them what we did have. And we did have values. We learned the value of things when we didn't have anything. But we want to give our children all the things because we didn't have it. But along that, we don't give them values. You want to break your father's heart? Then take all he's got for you and waste it. Live a purposeless life and an aimless life. And the third thing is, he violated the moral values that his father taught him. He knew very well what he grew up with, but he just wanted to do everything contrary to that. I want to ask you, young people, this morning, are you breaking your father's heart? Is there something you know that you have probably withdrawn from your father's love? Or you're wasting all that he earned for you? Or are you in a place where morality doesn't matter anymore? You look to the world and what it tells you is right and wrong, rather than what the word taught you and your parents showed by way of example. Well, I don't want to leave you on that sad note. How can you make your father's heart glad? I'm sure many of us as children would realize, I have failed. I've not been the son or daughter I should have been. But what can I do to make it better? Well, let's look at the son who was lost. What did he do? It says in verse number 17, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he sought for what he had lost. He sought for fellowship. He sought for his father's house. If you've been far, far away and you're just using Father's Day as a point of connect with your father, I just want to tell you, get back. Get back. Someday you'll be a father. Get back. Someday you will experience what your father's going through. And time is too short to teach people lessons. You get right with your father today and seek that fellowship and forgiveness if there is any there. He respected his father's authority. He says, I will arise and go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Look at the words here. Earlier he said, give me. Now he's saying, make me. Turn me into a slave and I'll gladly serve you, Father. If you want to make your father's heart glad, get back into right fellowship with your father. Respect his authority. Maybe somewhere you have belittled him and you will have to come back to the place that this prodigal came back where he said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you're right. But notice when the father started to celebrate, the son realized, I can't believe this. But it's happening. I'm hugged. I'm kissed. I'm clothed. I'm washed. When you want to make your father's heart glad, you got to let father know that you find joy in his presence. Too many of us come into God's house moaning, complaining. We've got to come into this house because we've been accepted in the beloved. We've been forgiven. So children, I want to tell you this morning, you want to make your father glad, stop neglecting them or stop treating them like they are non-existent. Value the things that they taught you and live it so that they can know that you value those things too. And if your life has been contrary to what your parents have taught you, your father has taught you, the word of God, it might be the time for you to come back. Maybe some of you this morning are feeling, don't talk about the word father, because I've not had a father. I've not had someone I could look up to, someone who was a role model to you, to me. And I pity you this morning. But I want to tell you, if you lacked a father, you have a father in heaven. And that father this morning wants to celebrate Father's Day with you. And he wants you to know that in his house is all the pleasures you can have and enjoy forever and ever. But he's longing for you because you have strayed away from his home. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right from the Garden of Eden, man has walked away from God. It's been your will against God's will. But your father has been waiting on that mountaintop for you to return home. And this morning he's so delighted to see you in the house, in his house. And he's just waiting with open arms, welcoming you back home. I don't know how far away you've strayed from the Lord. I don't know how wasted your life is this morning. I don't know if the world has taken away all the treasures you had when you left your father's house and went. You know, we normally say, today you're a hero. In India we say that, today you're a hero, tomorrow you're a zero. Now that's a very true fact. The world takes you, lifts you up, uses you, and then you become garbage. But not so with the father. This was a son who was lost. This was a son who didn't deserve anything. But the father waited for him. The father longed for him. And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't know God as your father, if you're not his child, then he's just calling you into fellowship. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die and take the punishment of your sins. And this morning, all he asks you is, come home. And you say, I'm just not fit. I'm not the church type of a person. I don't like this Bible thing. He says, come as you are. But you know, I've been living with pigs. He says, come as you are. I created you. You're mine. And you will find he'll wash you. He'll clothe you. And he'll call you my child. I did that many, many years ago. And that's why I stand before you this morning. But before I close, I want you to see, while all this celebration is going on, there's one person not joining the celebration. That's the older son. And he just stood. And as he's coming back from work, he says, what's all the music for? And they said, come join the celebration. What's happening? Your younger brother has returned. He was lost but now found. He was dead but now come alive. I'm not coming in. And he stands as stubborn as ever, and he says, he wants an explanation from his father, and he says, I slaved, I worked hard for you, but you never gave me a party. And this fellow, he wastes everything, he lives such a worthless life, and when he returns, you have a time of celebration. Maybe some of you this morning are like that older brother. You know, in this story, the sad ending is, while one was lost and found, one was lost and lost. Never came back. We never know anything more about the other brother. It's just that he didn't come in and join the party. Are you like that this morning? Upset? Angry? I have every reason to be like this. The world has treated me badly. My father has treated me badly. God has treated me badly. You want to stay out while God is calling sinners into repentance? Why are you going to change your attitude? I just thought for a moment, this story would have been different if the older brother had to say, Dad, I can see how much you miss the younger brother. I'm going to go out and search for him. And he goes days and nights, and then he finds his brother and he brings him back home. And the father says, there's my lost son. And he hugs him and kisses him and clothes him. And he says, my son was dead and he's now come alive. And he says, but all this wouldn't have been possible without you. But that was not meant to be. The older brother remained angry and upset. Why did Jesus tell this story? Well, the first verse of that chapter, you can read it at home. It says, the Pharisees and scribes were angry because Jesus was eating and receiving sinners. How can he receive sinners? Oh, they're terrible. They're terrible people, outcasts of society. Why is he mixing with them? Why is he mingling with them? Because he came to seek and save those that are lost. I don't know where you stand this morning. Are you the prodigal who's gone away from the Lord? You've gone so far away that the Father's love doesn't matter to you. His instruction doesn't matter to you. But you've come to your senses and you feel an emptiness and a longing. But you don't know what to do. We're going to close with a song. And this song tells you that the Father's arms are outstretched and calling you. And my dear friends, don't let this day go by without coming back to Jesus. I don't know how far away you've strayed, but it's just going to be one word from you. Lord, I return. And the Lord will take you, wash you, cleanse you, and make you what you should be. Just listen to the words of this song as we close.